the party.
Hey, Rob, it's Ed Hawk. Do you ever be willing to wear a V-neck?
Brain Dead Radio presents...
They destroyed everything he had, everything that he was.
Now, all that stands between a city and a disaster is a man who's been out of action for 30 years.
Crime has a new enemy.
You really are crazy.
Get ready to rock.
And once again, we are back with another episode of The Ed Hawkins Show. Joining me again this week is the man from the first inaugural episode, Randall. Say hello there, Randall.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me back.
Oh, it's nothing, man. I gotta say, you know, you were fantastic. The audience loved you. You know, had good word from Rob, you know, from the members of the BDR network. You know, they're getting good word. You're getting the good Q share, as they say in the business.
Awesome. Thank you.
But, yeah, today has been really a lazy Sunday for me. I know... You know, before he came over, I was sitting in my bathrobe all day. You know, I made myself a baked potato, so you know it's a spadoinkle day. But I was like Lance from Pulp Fiction, you know, Eric Stoltz, just sitting in my bathrobe all day. I wasn't dealing drugs, though, but it was. I'm glad you came by because I desperately needed to get dressed. So, okay. Not in front of you, but, you know, just need to get, you know, cleaned up.
Well, feel free to use me as an excuse to put on pants anytime you like.
Well, yeah, I believe in definitely putting pants. I know it's, you know, I can't sit in my bathrobe all day. I eventually have to get dressed. But, yeah, speaking of that, I know also, you know, I'm out there looking for a new job, desperately want to get out of the one I'm currently doing. You know, as always, I was thinking about becoming a, you know, pimp slash sex worker at night. You know, I've been watching a few movies. I was watching Dr. Detroit, Night Shift, you know, Risky Business. I think, you know, I'm getting a handle. If not, because I know for that kind of work, you need to wear a very cool hat. I don't know if that would be, I'm not saying you'd, you know, join in on this industry. But I'm saying that eventually I'd become a CPA by day, pimp slash night.
Well, I think any man at any given time has given consideration to the male prostitution racket. I don't know how serious it is. I mean, the thoughts always deteriorate almost immediately because it's not the same thing as female prostitution.
No.
It's not nearly as glamorous.
No, clearly not, you know, and I know, in fact, in Nevada, they just opened up a male brothel, but it is only for women to go there, apparently. Ugh. I was talking to some of my gay friends, my gay associates about that, and they were like, oh, really? You know, and they were a little bit disappointed, but that kind of industry goes on. But I think with enough viewings of Dr. Detroit, I could become a very successful pimp and take on the Detroit Mafia at the same time while wearing a metal armor glove.
Again.
Yes, again.
Yeah.
I took on the World Crime League, and now I'm going to take on the Detroit Mafia. So that's what I've got going on at the moment. And other than that, I know in terms of television, we've had two big things going on this week. First off, Lost. I don't know if you got anything to say about that, but also the Olympics, the Winter Games, down and up in Vancouver.
So, I've heard they're both filled with equal amounts of mindfuckery. Is that right?
Yes. I don't know if you did you see the latest first episode of Lost? Got anything to say
about that?
Yeah,
I've been following the season so far. It's incredibly confusing as usual, and I don't know how to articulate what I think about what's going on or what's going on the show. I think I pretty much had a mental meltdown as far as that show is concerned. Mm-hmm. Still watching it, still interested to see where it's going, but I don't know that I have the capacity anymore to develop any theories. Because it's like I said, it's just complete mindfuckery. That's
yeah, so
it. That's all I got.
You know, I never bothered watching an episode of Lost. I know once again, Rob's probably chalking up on the fail board.
I'm dry. I have to turn away. I'm dry heaving right now while you say that.
Yeah, but yeah, I never bothered watching Lost. I could tell you up and down and everything there is to know about The Wire, but yeah, I never bothered following Lost. And,
well, they're basically the same show, The Wire and Lost. So maybe. You're not missing anything really.
Could be. But speaking of the Olympics, I know I've said this before. My TV's not hooked up, but I did watch some of the highlights on the internet. I will say, you know, say what you will about Shaun White, Yes, he may be a douchebag, but those moves he pulled off were amazing. Also,
and the white Stripes are great. It's a great band. Oh, yeah, I don't have a problem with them.
They also did a bit of a snowboarding. They also did the skeleton, I believe. No. So, but
I didn't know Shaun White was an Olympic athlete.
Yes, he's also a ginger. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but the NAAGP, the National Association for the Advancement of Ginger Peoples, have been really backing this guy. But I will say about the outdoor events, a lot of cowbell. So that's always good to hear. A lot of cowbell. You know, that's good. Really helps spice things up. The other thing going on this week has been the men's figure skating, so you can kind of figure out what's that about. And, I know it's funny that my dad used to watch figure skating for the past couple of few Olympics and even the championships. We'd just sit around and watch it. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, reserving judgment.
Yeah, exactly. But and it wasn't like I was ever encouraged to do ice skating. I know what you're thinking, Rob. Yes, I did not do any ice skating, which leads into my point on this in just a moment. But, that's incredible, feats of athleticism right there. It's amazing. So, I mean, as ridiculous as the costumes are, and believe me, they are, and they've always been like that, it's still amazing feats of athletic ability. And, there should be praise for that because, let's face it, us guys, we're not out there, training our asses off 14 hours a day to pull stuff off like that on, a thin piece of metal.
I don't think the costumes are ridiculous enough for my money. I want more elaborate costumes, maybe mascots.
Mascots? It's funny you mention that because there's footage of a guy. He's a guy by the name of Dick Button. He's a commentator. Yes, that's actually his name. Dick Button. He was in the 1948 games. They have footage of him on YouTube doing his thing as an athlete. And it's amazing. Well, it's obviously the routine is much more different, but the costumes, the man is wearing a suit and ice skating at the same time.
A tuxedo.
He's not wearing a tuxedo. He's wearing a tie. You could say he's got kind of a Nazi thing going on. I'm not saying that.
So you're saying officially here right now that Dick Button is a Nazi?
No. What's happening? It's very Aryan looking, though.
Okay.
It's also because he had kind of an armband going on.
Well, I'd like to see Snoopy, maybe characters.
But they have that. It's called the Ice Capades.
No, but I'd like more elaborate, just a big turkey costume, something.
Well, they did that in Blades of Glory.
Maybe superheroes.
Blades of Glory.
Put them in there.
Why would I want to see Spider-Man on ice? Why is Spider-Man going to be on ice anyway?
I think that would hold my interest.
Wouldn't it be
the Thundercats?
But Iceman on ice is ridiculous. He doesn't need ice skates.
Iceman on ice would be amazing.
Would he slip on himself if he was Iceman? I don't know. But
I don't know. That's blowing my mind.
Yeah,
right
but
now.
Somehow North Star is going to come into it and just, kind of... I don't know. Is North Star as annoying as Scrappy Doo? I never really read North Star, so I couldn't tell.
Nobody gives a shit about North Star.
Exactly. Well, it's Canada. Canada
North Star didn't
superheroes.
Show up and interrupt your cartoons as a kid.
Canada, I don't know why Canada would have superheroes. I mean, why do they need? What are they protecting exactly? I mean, it's Alpha Flight. I got nothing, but
it's
really terrible. But let me tell you about that ice game. Once again, let me chalk that up. I just said, let me tell you is the new epic for the new decade right here, folks. But you got all this stuff with the ice game going on. Very impressive stuff. There was Evan Lysacek and some Ruski and with a mullet. Ruski was pissed because Lysacek, kicked his ass. It was very impressive. Now, I want to mention one other thing about men's figure skating. There's a particular guy on there by the name of Johnny Weir. Now, you may not be familiar with this guy.
I bring nothing to the table on this subject, so just go ahead.
The one bit of trivia I can present with this is the fact that if you saw the piece of shit that was Blades of Glory, the John Heder character with his elaborate outfits and the way he is based off of this guy. And, people are who they are and all that. The guy's basically, he's 5 alarm flaming. Let's not kid ourselves here. I mean, it's woo boy. I mean, John Waters would be like, this is too much. But, but the dude's a millionaire. I'm never going to achieve that. But it's funny that I actually mentioned to a friend of mine up in Washington State. I said to him, hey, you know what would be a good Halloween costume? Johnny Weir. And I immediately got, it did not go over very well. But I'm still laughing about it because I think it's fucking funny as hell. So, I don't know. To me, that was just my funny moment of the day.
Yes.
But going back to our whole thing about me living like Lance, the redheaded ginger drug dealer out
that would
of my
be
apartment.
Eric Stoltz in Pulp Fiction.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes, for and you keeping score
when you're not stabbing people in the chest with heroin needles.
Well, I never advise anyone to take the Pepsi Challenge on anything.
Yeah.
So you got to keep that in mind. But we have the New Beverly Cinema, and I know I've mentioned this theater many times before. I know we may have mentioned it in our first episode. There's some good news, very good news about that place. Quentin Tarantino, who had been paying the rent for that place for years, the theater was nearly going to be shut down. It was going to be turned into a Supercuts of all places. He bought the building and became their landlord. That is a hell of a gesture.
That's right, and now we can all instate the use of thank Tarantino in place of thank God or thank Christ.
Thank QT.
Yes.
I will say that we can never make fun of his fetishes on feet. I think we have to leave it be. And whatever he makes, if he makes another movie, you know, more power to him. And I will, from here on in, I will renounce that my standard status on Tarantino is that he's smoking pot and eating Cap'n Crunch. He is now saving the new Bev and allowing us to see double features for only and midnight movies for only $7.
And great midnight movies, too. Like, we recently just saw last night a midnight showing at the new Bev, the Australian horror film Razorback.
Yes, boy, you said that movie was good. I can't say that was actually.
I don't think
good.
I threw the word "good" in there, did I?
Yeah, you said it was great. I think I have.
I may have been. I think I was being facetious. I'm not. It was not good at all.
Yeah, this was terrible. For those that you don't know, Razorback, it's part of this genre of Australian exploitation movies. I know I was talking to the King of Jews about this last week, documentary called "Not Quite Hollywood." And basically, there was a tax loophole with the Australian government where they made all sorts of weird-ass pictures. Lots of gore, lots of car crashes, lots of nudity. So if you love the titties, there it's for you there, too. Great titty, high-quality actresses with titties to show. More importantly, you had Razorback, which is it's like Jaws with a giant wild boar. We'll get into that in a bit.
Hold on, because you were talking about all this great stuff from Australian cinema, but that's not in Razorback.
No, it is not. One cool thing, though, about seeing that Razorback last night was the fact that the director, Russell Mulcahy, Highlander himself, was there.
Yes.
So that was, it was kind of interesting.
No, he was a really fascinating guy, yeah. His commentary was better than his interview, his pre-show interview was better
with
than
Ryan
the movie.
With Ryan Rotten, yeah. Yeah, it was great. It was really cool seeing him. Yeah, he seemed like a very
And
nice
someone
guy.
Tried to coax him into explaining the music video he directed for Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Oh, yes.
And he had nothing. It makes no sense even to the person who produced it.
He's just bloody pervert.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So that was also equally
so even he himself doesn't even know what the fuck Total Eclipse of the Heart is.
That's right, yeah.
No one knows.
Yeah.
Much like Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo, no one knows who came up with that. No one knows who came up with the concept of Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Right.
But more importantly, going back to Razorback, this is not a good movie. And it wasn't even like Commando bad. You can really enjoy it. It just wasn't that great. For one thing, that boar wasn't even that big.
The boar was not that big. It was disappointingly proportioned.
Maybe the size of a rhino at best. I mean, we have stuff like that in this country. They're called buffalo.
I'd say it was about St. Bernard size.
Maybe. It could have been the size of Beethoven or Cujo or Man's Best Friend with Lance Hendrickson. But
Man's Best Friend.
Yes,
oh,
the cyber killer dog.
Yes.
But this boar was not even that big. Most maybe a rhino. And once again, we had these things in America called buffalo that were just as big, and we were able to nearly kill them all from shooting them from trains. These guys could not get with it to get that boar killed. And, you know, they had completely wasted opportunity of a drunken mob. These guys were not even going to get killed. Now, the only interesting thing about this movie, really, is that you get a featuring of some real Australian hillbillies, basically.
Oh,
some
yeah.
real Aussie white trash. Only unique to that country do you get something like that. You have to see it to believe it. And I know it's talked about Not Quite Hollywood. In fact, I think even Tarantino talks about these, you know, kinds of characters. Those are some creepy fucks, I will say.
Those were more terrifying than the actual Razorback giant boar, mm-hmm. where the hillbillies were terrifying.
Yes.
Because they're soulless and evil.
Yeah, we're actually saying that hillbillies, unlike gingers, are soulless. So
yes.
Yes, we'll get into that later. But yeah, there really wasn't anything much to this movie. It was, you know, I mean, I gave it a shot. I mean, it was better than The Wraith. Don't get me wrong. Better than that.
Nothing is as bad as The Wraith.
Well, you didn't see Wisdom with Emilio Estevez. That was
okay.
Horrendous. But it was not as entertaining as I thought it would be. We gave it a chance. It's not on DVD. I would say don't spend the money for it on DVD. But it just wasn't as I thought it was gonna. It's not gonna be as good as I thought.
It's good for a few laughs, but actually, what I would say is if you're going to watch it and you have any illicit substances around, just consume as much of them as possible before watching the movie because it should increase the enjoyment about tenfold. I mean, it was really terrible.
Very 80s.
don't watch it sober. If you're going to watch it, if we've piqued your interest, do not watch it sober. Please.
Now, do yourself a favor. I think Russ from the boards was talking about how great this movie was, and Russ can really, you know, him being a Texan and all, can really pound a few down. So he has...
He must have been tanked.
He must have been drunk. He must have been tanked. I don't know. I mean, there weren't even any really good trailers. I thought that we were either going to play, you know, a bunch of Russell Mulcahy movies, or maybe we were going to see the trailer to The Shadow, maybe to Highlander. I don't know. But apparently the guy's going to be... There's going to be a TV version of Teen Wolf.
Yeah, he just
Once
finished
again,
directing
MTV continuing the line of suck that's been going on for well over 15 years. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
Absolutely ridiculous. And apparently he's going to do some movie with sharks above a supermarket. That's in 3D, no less.
Sharks above a supermarket?
Yeah, apparently they're going to take the idea of Airport 77, where the plane is underwater, so they're going to have a supermarket, a tsunami hits, but somehow the supermarket is not flooded, and sharks are above the market.
Yes.
I got it, so it's Deep Blue Sea plus meets the mist.
Fascinating.
Absolutely ridiculous.
That's a winner.
Oh, yes. Other than that, in terms of movies, I watched In the Loop, which I thought was fantastic. If you love Arrested Development, if you love The Office, you know, do check that out. I tried watching Good Will Hunting the other day. I couldn't get through it. Very interesting tidbit that Kevin Smith himself produced that movie with Scott Mosier. So if Good Will Hunting had won for that year, Kevin Smith would have been known as an Oscar winner. So he would have had something else to add when he was getting thrown off that plane in the Southwest.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had heard about that incident. But
I did, yes. He was thrown off an airplane for being obese.
Yes. Now, we've seen the pictures of Kevin Smith. He is not a svelte man. He will not be appearing in any ad for American Apparel anytime soon. I did listen to his Smodcast, his show about the incident. My feeling is on the whole thing is that I think someone on the crew was fucking with him because... He had said there was some other large dude on the plane, and something got caught in the shovel. Now, was he inappropriately fucked over? Probably. Should he be raising a stink about it? Yeah. Should he lose some fucking weight? Yes. But once again, dude's a millionaire. I have nothing. I'm not in the place to tell Hollywood what to do. So.
I think there are a lot of factors that need to be taken into consideration with something like that. We only know about half the story. One thing I was interested in is does Kevin Smith bathe frequently?
I think he does wash himself with a rag on a stick.
Okay. I figured he would also have enough money to maybe pay someone to bathe him. Himself.
Yeah. Well, good point.
The trench coat thing. He's always wearing the Silent Bob trench coat. Has it ever been washed?
Well, how has the jean shorts you've been wearing since 94 been washed?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You've seen the size of these things. We both can fit in one pant leg, and we are not exactly, we're not hipster D-bags ourselves here with size 26 waists.
Now, to be fair, just to explain to the audience, now you said we could fit in one pant leg of
each.
Kevin Smith's shorts. We actually tried that. We did a test of that. We bought a pair on eBay, and it works.
Oh, yes, we did, actually.
Yes.
We also have the picture of us going, giving the okay sign while lifting the waist out to indicate how much our weight loss has been successful.
That's right.
So somewhere out there, that picture is floating around. Yet another reason why I will not be running for political office in my lifetime.
There was a lot going on with that. I don't know.
And then the new Bev has had some great stuff. I mean, once again, you're paying $7 for a double feature. In fact, you know what they're playing today? Some movie with Jeff Goldblum that I have no idea, I never heard of, and Fletch. One of the greatest movies out there, Fletch.
Better than Razorback.
Far better than Razorback. Yeah. Although Fletch Lives, I think, is on par. I tried watching on an interview yesterday, took a brief nap, woke back up, and then finished it. So I think it was on par. But that is a franchise that is begging for a reboot. And also that was Chevy Chase's best movie, was Fletch. I think that's the top to bottom perfect movie, and I think really the perfect guy to play Fletch, Joel McHale. Take the guy from Community, put him in as Fletch, it'll work great. Because I know Kevin Smith tried to do Fletch with Jason Lee, and then at some point I think even Joshua Jackson from Dawson's Creek was also going to play Fletch, and it just didn't pan out.
Are you kidding me? I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. Although Topher Grace would have been
That's incredibly disappointing.
Oh, horribly disappointing. But yeah, they've never been able to get a new Fletch movie off the ground. And that movie, that character in those books are perfect. It's not time specific. It's not age specific. anyone could really play him, so long as he's, you know, good, you know, comic timing, it would be perfect. And as to whether or not, you know, maybe, you know, is Kevin Smith going to pick it up again? Who knows? But, you know, maybe the guy will finally, you know, he's starting to do other projects. So, but I know I'm not really interested in seeing Cop Out anyway.
Well, whatever Kevin Smith does next, I think we can have a guarantee we're not going to see any airplane scenes in any of his movies coming up.
Well, he's going to take the train.
Okay, yeah.
Well, that, and he's just going to fly JetBlue, according to his show. He's giving up Southwest. I mean, I know those seats are narrow, and I got to imagine for anyone who's a large individual, it's got to be a real pain in the ass. Yeah. Something, there's definitely more sides to the story, so I don't know if they're going to rush him on this or what, and figure out who did what to whom in what way at what time, but we just don't know. But I think the guy was fucked over, but... You know, as I like to say, your guess is as good as mine. But
a new segment we're gonna do on the Ed Hocken show, which is pretty interesting. I came up with this idea. It's gonna be a really big deal. I think the audience is really gonna enjoy this. Go ahead right now. This will be the time to pop in your Razorback DVDs. We're gonna do real time commentary on the film Razorback. I assume everybody out there listening has a DVD of this film. Go ahead and we'll get started. Ed, you want to
consists of saying this movie sucks. And I don't even want to be like the angry video game nerd and just work up a full, you know, steam here. Still, it's better than The Wraith. And the director for The Wraith was actually there. And you'll never forget where he said that The Crow ripped them off. And you're like, you're secretly thinking, it's like, well, The Crow may have ripped you off, pal.
Yeah,
but The Crow did it far
better. What year? I forget. The Wraith came out. It's an 80s movie with Charlie Sheen. It's this really terrible
first
film.
Movie I think he did.
And it came out in what? The mid-80s?
Early
mid-80s. Mm-hmm. And it is so unbelievably bad. But the trailer's amazing. It looks like it has everything you'd ever want from a kind of hokey teen action alien...
Well, it wasn't even an alien. He was like a ghost or some shit like that.
He was like a ghost alien. They don't even really... it's so confusing. But that was terrible. The director had said that he was the inspiration for The Crow and Fast and the Furious. And just basically with that spectrum, all of cinema that had come after.
Also, he was credited with creating Porky's.
So anyway, that was a nightmare experience. But we're not doing the Razorback commentary?
No, we're not. Okay. We're not. I know to get the Razorback DVD, you got to go to the Warner Brothers website where they'll create you a DVD. They'll make a press.
Really?
Yeah, it's not in print, I guess. Oh, and apparently also there's going to be like a new Highlander showing up at some point, a reboot of Highlander. So if you're into that sort of thing, by all means.
Sans the Connery,
yes.
Unfortunately. Who do you think is going to get to replace Connery?
Oh, I don't know. I never watched Highlander.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, if you Connery's in the original, they're going to redo it. Who do you think is a worthy replacement?
You get like Gerard Butler or something in there.
Gerard Butler. God damn it. Why is everyone throwing his name?
Dude's got a head like a face like a potato. Did you ever notice that? Kind of reminds me of
that. I don't know. I only remember him from 300, so he had a long
profile. Yeah, because I had seen Game.
He had that turd beard, so it was it elongated his face a little bit.
Are you saying it was a gorilla mask? Is that what you're saying? It was a beard made out of pubes?
That's what it looked like to me.
I gave him the Abe Lincoln.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But speaking of scary stuff, I know we're going to lead into a discussion about horror in just a moment. But first, we're going to introduce an actual new segment to the Ed Hocken Show, Talking Cock with the Hawk. Yes, Rob Hughes came up with that. I merely stole it for the purpose of this. Talking Cock with the Hawk. Now, by Talking Cock with the Hawk, I don't literally mean we'll be talking about my cock. There's nothing to really talk about.
Thank
nor
God.
Will we be talking about Randall's cock. I don't want to hear about your cocks, people. If I want to see that sort of thing, I'll just go to Craigslist like anybody else.
This isn't Loveline. We're not doing any actual cock talk here.
For the record, Savage Love over Loveline any day of the week, you know. But that's another discussion for another time.
I disagree.
But yes, so we have a voicemail account set up, and we'll give out the number shortly.
Go ahead and call in now. We're taking calls. 1-800-TALK-COCK.
Yes.
Give us a call. We'll take your call live on the air.
Altoona, you're on the air. You're on what you're talking cock with the Hawk. More importantly, we have a voicemail account. We'll give out the phone number shortly. I just don't have it in front of me because I'm
then,
a somewhat lazy
now
fuck today.
Now they're calling in with advice on their
cocks?
On their genitals. Yes,
yeah, so they're showing me their genitals.
We're
their
going
genitalia.
To try to we're going to try to diagnose
their cock maladies.
Exactly.
Their cock allergies.
Yeah. So
yes. So we're going to take a brief moment and play what we've got in the voicemail and. See what we've got, so we'll be back in just one moment.
Hey, Ed. It's Rob. of BrainDeadRadio.com. Just want to say congratulations on your show. I'm not quite sure if my first voicemail went through, because I'm currently sitting in traffic thanks to a bunch of douchebags that do not know how to drive. Anyway, want to say congratulations on having 3 shows. Congratulations on pretty much failing during every one of them. Welcome to the club, my friend. And welcome to the club of having people constantly point out your failures. So I want to just go off one of my major ones. And thank God you had the King of the Jews, Ari Stroessenberg, on there. Because for a second there, you were about to say that Starman next to Escape from New York and Halloween was John Carpenter's best film. In fact, thanks to the King of the Jews, he reminded you, no, that would be The Thing, my good sir. The Thing. Not even debatable. The Thing is Carpenter's best flick. Hands fucking down. Next point I wanted to make quickly was you said you had no idea who could be in running for Snake Plissken for the Escape from New York, the Escape from New York remake. I'm going to throw my hat in the ring and say Jensen Ackles. Yes, that is correct. Dean from motherfucking Supernatural. I'm a CW. I know some people are like saying, hey, the CW, what is that all about? It's probably a bunch of tween bullshit. You'd be right. Supernatural, if you're a horror fan, it's pretty badass. Plus, it's got Jeffrey Dean Morgan in it. He's a goddamn pimp. So check that shit out. And keep on keeping on, Ed. And by the way, don't forget to visit BrainDeadRadio.com for other fine shows, such as She's Right, I'm Rob, featuring yours truly. Oh, my.
And we're back. Yes, that was Rob Hughes himself, the lead man on Braindead Radio, calling in wishing me good luck. Although, for the record, Rob, it's, hey, Rob. So get it right the next time. And also, it's, oh, my, until I get sued by George Takei himself. But until then, that's how it should be done. So, yes, we listened to Rob's voicemail, and I do now have the number in front of me. It's 206-337-8802. Once again, Talk Cock with the Hawk at 206-337-8802. We listened to the voicemail. What'd you think there, Randall?
I thought it was great. I definitely agree that The Thing is John Carpenter's best film. It's a real masterpiece of horror and
also
suspense.
Wilford Brimley.
And yes, and Wilford Brimley. Wilford, blah, blah, blah. Okay, anyway, moving on.
Bad Beatus.
Shut the fuck up. Anyway.
Beatus.
But yeah, I definitely agree. I think you haven't seen The Thing yet?
I'm
going to
admit I have not seen The Thing in its entirety. I saw The Sweated Thing. I've seen parts of The Thing.
Okay. Now hold
on.
Not
referring to my thing.
Hold on. Just want to talk to the audience here, specifically anyone who might be listening from BrainDead Radio, your contemporaries. Don't freak out. Ed is going to see The Thing as soon as possible. So do not worry. This will happen. And the glory will be...
Yes.
Upon you.
Well, fuck you too, kaboom. So,
and but I did want to address something really quick about that voicemail that was very, very, very extremely offensively wrong. Which
what was that?
About the Snake Plissken casting and having Jensen Ackles in the running to
play.
Once
again, I'm going
to
admit fail here.
Snake
I have not
Plissken.
Seen an episode of Supernatural in its entirety. I tried watching the pilot episode. It did not help that the DVD I had kept skipping. But I felt that once again, I know it's the pilot. I just thought the characters were kind of wooden, and it just was not grabbing my interest at all.
Well, McGee is involved in it, so there's a good reason.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah, you got to stay far away from the show.
Yes.
Despite its merits, you just can't fully invest in it.
But yeah, going back to Jensen Ackles. Now, who is Jensen Ackles?
Jensen Ackles is the lead character on, well, arguably lead. There's two guys in the...
He's the short-haired guy or the long-haired
guy?
He's
the short-haired guy. Okay. And he was the guy who wasn't in the new Friday the 13th, for anyone interested. And Jensen Dick Lips Ackles is no fucking Snake Plissken. He is not. That is blasphemy. That was just so fucking wrong. I can't even get my shit together right now after listening to that.
Choking on your rage here.
I am. So fuck that. I don't know that I have anyone that would be great for Plissken in place of Ackles. The only person I can think of, a modern action star, who could possibly play him is maybe somebody like Hugh Jackman or something like that. Just it was kind of tough, but you know, he's the only one I can think of who's even remotely Kurt Russell-ish at all. I mean, you know, kind of badass, but
right.
You know, also casual.
Yeah, I would agree. Plus, he can do a good American accent, as we saw in Swordfish. But more importantly...
He'd look awesome in an eye patch, is what you're going to say, right?
And it's difficult, because the other actors that I think have been talked about, maybe like Gerard Butler, or like Sam Worthington. Well, they could pull it off. Their accents are not that great. So I'm like, why don't you just, if you're going to have Gerard Butler in there, you might as well have Snake Plissken be Scottish. Because I saw Gamer, unfortunately, and that dude cannot hold his accent. So, and really, if you can't do the accent, you know, just make that person some, whatever nationality they are.
Yeah, don't
try and fake it.
Well,
one of the big problems about Avatar. It just like kept dragging me out. Was the fact that Worthington's just would be Aussie, and it's like, why can't you just make him be an Aussie that just happened to be a Marine?
I thought he was.
He was, but he was supposed to be an American. So
I thought he was supposed to be. I thought he had an Australian accent, though. He was supposed to have it.
No, really?
I didn't realize that was him fucking up. I thought that he was supposed to be Australian.
Well, what I'm saying is Cillian Murphy for Snake Plissken. You heard it first.
Yeah. Well, we went through like action stars that we thought could work. You know, well, I shouldn't say action stars that we thought could work, but action stars who are, you know, contemporary action stars that, you know, would be up in the running for Snake Plissken. People you would think of that are in the public consciousness right now.
Few and far between because we don't have those kinds of movies
anymore. You've got like Matt Damon and you've got like these guys now who are, you know, like Christian Bale and Daniel Craig and Mark Wahlberg and all these, and Leonardo DiCaprio and all these guys who are kind of doing some action.
Leonardo DiCaprio's not an action star.
Well, he's done some kind of pseudo action stuff, but what I mean is like, you know, they're not, you know, but I was thinking of him in like Body of Lies and you know, these guys, you can't even picture them anywhere close to the role of something like Snake Plissken because they're not nearly as hardcore as the 80s action stars were.
The funny thing about Snake Plissken, though, is that he wasn't like, I mean, he was, you know, he's a badass, but he wasn't like a roided up dude either. I mean,
right,
he wasn't like
right.
Stallone or Schwarzenegger at the end. I mean, honestly, it wouldn't make much sense, but he would, you know, because Jason Bourne, I mean, could work like that. Maybe. I just don't know.
Wait. What are you saying?
Maybe then Matt Damon could pull it off. I don't know.
Oh, you son of a. God. What's wrong with everyone today?
I don't know. I'm going against it. Being Mavericky. Maybe.
Yeah. I would rather see an old man Kurt Russell continue to be Snake Plissken than Matt Damon or Jensen Ackles get anywhere near this role. That would just that burns my
Jeremy
ass.
Jeremy Renner could be a good Snake Plissken.
Who's that?
You haven't seen The Hurt Locker, but
Guy Pearce is what you're saying.
Well, Guy Pearce, mate.
No.
My contemporary, maybe, but. No. You know, Jeremy Renner out of The Hurt Locker. Maybe he could do it because I know they're considering him for Captain America or Hawkeye, for that matter. Hawkeye. Not Hawkeye from MASH. But he's going to take over for Alan Alda. But
Alan Alda could be a great Snake Plissken, by the way.
I will mention about the CW. Yes, I know it's a bunch of tween bullshit. And that's par for the course. Although I do remember the great miniseries Invasion America featuring Lorenzo Lamas and Leonard Nimoy, animated, involving an alien invasion towards Earth. I don't know why that's never been on DVD, but you can watch the entire series on YouTube.
Oh, I think there's a good reason that's never been on DVD.
Oh, really? Why is that?
I don't know.
Okay, that
sounds like it blows.
Do you believe in
sounds like it blows. That's why it's not on DVD.
How dare you? But Jeffrey Dean Morgan, do you believe the man is a pimp?
I'm not a fan of the JDM. I think he's a weird combination of like Robert Downey Jr. and Javier Bardem, who are both superior actors, and I've found myself continuously disappointed with this fucker. What is his name?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah, I want to call him the comedian, but anyway.
Oh, the comedian. Yeah, well, he ruled.
Edward Blake.
Ed Blake.
Yeah, I'm not a particularly big fan of his.
But yeah, going back to John Carpenter, yes, I forgot about the thing. I completely forgot. You know, it was my mistake. Mea culpa on my part. Yes, in fact, the thing probably is his best movie.
Well, reserve judgment. Wait, see it. See how you feel about it. But I'm telling you, you're going to love it.
I imagine I would, and, you know, I have no doubt about it.
But to be fair, you know, I understand horror is not your genre.
No, it isn't. I mean, it's not like we were told, you know, when I was a younger kid, you know, in my family, I was not told, like, you can't see that movie. My dad never really saw horror movies. This stuff always saw it gave me bad dreams, so I never watched this stuff. And I just avoided it like the plague. Every time I'd go by the horror section, I'd be like, I don't want to look at it. The boxes are scary. But I would never watch stuff like that. Now, I know it's funny because Razorback was like an attempt at horror and like it was terrible. And then Videodrome, I don't think is a horror movie. I don't know, but that was some heavy shit. And I just don't really follow it.
You're missing out on the genre. There's a lot of great stuff. Mm-hmm. I remember being a kid. I saw like I grew up watching Freddy and Jason and Halloween and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not a big fan of the Halloween franchise.
Okay.
But I know I'm gonna get shit for that. But that's just I don't dislike it. I'm just not that into it.
Everyone acknowledges that Halloween, the first original 1970s movie, that should be really the only. Yeah. It should be that's.
I'm not into the LL Cool J sequels.
H2O.
Or the zombie remakes or anything like that.
Oh,
but,
my Christ.
No, but you know, Freddy and Jason were obviously staples of when we were growing up and stuff like that. So yeah. I remember seeing those as early as like, you know, 4 years old and stuff. And
oh my God.
They gave me nightmares like crazy. But I don't give a shit, man. It was awesome. So who cares? Fuck it.
Yeah. At some point, I'll even try to rewatch Scream one of these days because that. I watched most of that movie, and then I saw the ending. It was like, well, this guy just
Wait,
fucking die right?
Did you say you saw most? You didn't see the whole movie?
Yeah, it's just I never got around to it.
Oh, so, come on. Okay. You know, wait, there's... You gotta see Scream, man.
I'm getting around to it.
Okay, I'm bringing over all my DVDs next time I come over here.
Yeah.
We're gonna do a horror follow-up.
Jesus. I gotta sit here and train.
Speaking of which, I brought over to try to initiate you into the horror genre a little bit more. I brought over the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
mm-hmm.
which, for my money, and this is arguable, this is just my opinion, I feel is possibly the greatest slasher movie of all time. Just because.
Now, did you see the remake, or did you only see the remake?
No, I've never seen the remake.
I have a feeling that these horror movies would be a lot better if they didn't sequelize the holy hell out of them.
Well, there was an amazing sequel, and when I say amazing, I mean, you know, complete. Utter shit. A sequel of Texas Chainsaw Massacre with Matthew McConaughey.
I heard about this.
And what's her name from fucking what is that goddamn Hugh Grant movie?
It's not Julianne Moore, is it?
No. Oh fuck.
Elizabeth Hurley?
I just derailed your show.
No, that's okay.
Anyway,
pull up.
She was Renee Zellweger.
Oh,
that's
man.
Who it is. Yeah,
is
yeah.
Is she
yeah.
wide-eyed in this movie?
You know, it's such a disaster. I mean, I've actually admittedly only seen I've only, you know, glanced at the cover of the DVD. I couldn't bring myself to actually watch it. But it's surprised. Dennis Hopper was in some of the sequels, mm-hmm. and man, that I think you're right about that. That franchise just got run into the ground.
Well, a lot of the horror franchises, I think, got run into the ground, and we may have been better off if we just didn't get them.
You mean the sequels or the whole franchise?
The sequels.
Oh,
the
Jesus
sequels.
Christ! I think just renounced.
I don't mean do away with the franchise at all.
Jesus Christ! Speaking
we didn't
of which,
need Jason Takes Manhattan, which I actually considered wanting to see because of how fucked up it is. Where it does not take place. It does not take place in Manhattan. It takes place on a boat.
Yeah.
And they're only in Manhattan for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And Jason becomes like a little Asian kid at the end.
Yeah.
So unnecessary sequels, I think, are one of the worst things in my book. I know. Funny to mention that just to derail slightly off this whole horror discussion is that they're going to try and do a Watchmen 2 DC Comics. Oh God. Why?
Yeah, that's obviously
not
a terrible
since the Dark
idea.
Knight Strikes Back has there been such an abortion of an idea.
Yeah, that is not a good idea.
Oh Jesus!
I don't think Alan Moore or Dave Gibbons are going to be involved in it either.
No,
right?
I don't think so at all. They're not.
Yeah.
And well, Alan Moore is just crazy. At this point,
it's going to be. They're probably going to get Jim Lee to do it. It'll just
Rob Liefeld's Watchmen.
Oh,
going to be shit tons of couches and hex bigger than your head, and they don't have feet.
Yeah.
Oh my Christ.
Man. Jesus Christ.
But yeah, going back to
thanks
horror.
Thanks for that.
I mean, I've not. I can't honestly think I've been to movies where I've been really, really scared. I mean, I you know, stuff I would watch on TV where I'd get like really nervous. I'd be like watching, you know, Videodrome or Seven, or you know, because I'm like averting my eyes when they're going to show the sloth scene
or the razor dildo.
That wasn't as bad because they didn't show him actually fucking the girl with the razor dildo. I was
yeah.
like, okay, there. And also, I didn't expect when I originally heard about this scene, I thought they were like holding it up in a bag. It's like they put down the picture and like that's it. I'm like, oh. Okay,
that's horrifying, man.
It is horrifying.
Yeah.
But it's not the way I thought it would be. I just
you wanted,
my imagination played it up. It wasn't gonna be like, okay, here's a picture of it. They didn't show him like with it with like the woman like impaled on his junk.
Yeah.
You know,
thank God.
Yeah,
I don't want to see that shit.
Yeah, but then the room where they go in with the pine tree air fresheners, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna turn away from the screen now because I don't want to see. And that was a real guy. That guy was the Stryker's son in X-Men 2. It's the same actor.
With the guy who was freaking out about the...
No, he was the sloth victim.
Yeah.
That was a real guy. And they just put prosthesis on him.
Oh, yeah. I know
it's
what you're talking
about. Same actor.
Yeah.
That guy who's Stryker's son in the wheelchair in X-2 was also the sloth victim.
Yeah.
And, no, the guy who was the guy who had to... where the dildo is Leland Orser. He was in, he shows up and stuff.
He's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he kind of looked like a more adult Seth Green. You know, like Seth Green's older brother.
I don't know about that, but okay.
Yeah, basically Leland Orser is Seth Green's older brother, while Sean White is Seth Green's younger, taller brother.
I gotta admit, I have no idea who Sean White is.
The snowboarder, the ginger snowboarder I was just talking about.
No, 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 I mean, I know who you're referencing, I've never seen him before, so
We'll have to, I'll show you some pictures.
We've done really terrible research before this episode, I have no idea who you're talking about.
You call yourself a method podcaster?
No, actually.
But I, you know, in terms of like what other stuff, I mean, I just never really followed the hardcore
the horror genre.
Stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, but I'm just saying, like, you know, there's some really great stuff.
Absolutely.
Give it a watch. It's really cool. And I think Chainsaw Massacre is a great addition to the horror genre.
And I have to get around to watching Friday the 13th and, you know, giving one nightmare. I know Nightmare is on friggin' InstaView, so I could see Johnny Depp wearing the half shirt. And, you know, then the ultimate gayness of Nightmare on Elm Street 2. I mean, I saw the YouTube clips.
I gotta say, Nightmare on Elm Street 2 wasn't very good as like a film. at least that I remember. It's been years since I've seen it, but right. I thought the photography was really good on that movie because they actually made Freddy look pretty fucking creepy in that movie because he's not really well lit, so he's pretty shadowed the whole time.
Right.
So it's a lot of more of an implication of his burn scars and stuff like that.
Right.
And the special effects are pretty impressive, even though sometimes they don't really make a lot of sense. They're almost a little too surreal.
Yeah.
There's some really interesting stuff in that movie. I mean, to take away from, you know, technically and everything. So some of the imagery and stuff is just really pretty iconic, even though it's kind of, like I said, it's really surreal. I mean, there's a lot of weird shit going on.
I mean, to me, when this type of thing, when you have a franchise beaten down like this, where basically it's like they go into space or the hood, why not have a remake and try to freshen up?
Well, to be fair, I mean, they've tried this before with Wes Craven himself tried to reboot the franchise in the mid-90s with New Nightmare, where they changed Freddy sort of as a character and put him in, I guess, well, I don't know really how to explain that. They sort of put him in the real world in a way and everything. But it's still, you know, for all its, you know, decent qualities, it still came off a little hokey, and it just wasn't really Wes Craven's best work. And I always feel like even though... I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street had some great sequels, though. I mean, there's for every shitty sequel, there was probably, like, first one was pretty good. Second one was, I'd say, it was bad to mediocre. I mean, it just didn't really feel like it flowed well with the story from the first one. And then the third one is amazing. I mean, even it's written by Frank Darabont, who went to do The Shawshank Redemption, for God's sake. And then Chuck Russell, who did the greatest movie of all time, Eraser. We'll go back to the Eraser later. But
the Nightmare movies follow the opposite of the Star Trek movies, that the odd ones are good and then, you know, the even ones are garbage.
I have no idea. I don't follow the Star Trek franchise.
Oh, okay. I've only seen Khan and Undiscovered Country.
I mean, I saw the new Star Trek, and I saw some of the Next Generation movies, but I've never been a big Star Trek fan. So
yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it either. But the Next Generation movies are terrible, except for First Contact. As I said on last episode, you can't compete with the swarthy Mexican charms of Kirk. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes, and his you know, man, that's
But I have. Well, anyway, I don't want to get derailed on Star Trek. But going back to the Freddy movies, the sequels, there were some really interesting sequels. Like I was saying, the third one, Dream Warriors, really filled with a lot of really great, you know, really imaginative stuff, and it's a lot of fun. It's not. I wouldn't say it was scary.
Right.
Some of it's a little like weird. I mean, I guess if you're younger, it would be even weirder.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty like strange. It's not really like necessarily. It's not necessarily creepy. Some of it's pretty hokey, but it's still fun. It's when they started giving Freddy more one-liners and stuff, though, and then that kind of spelled doom.
Is that where the whole bitch thing
that
came
spelled
about
to the here? Yeah. And then that kind of spelled doom for the franchise, because after that, you know, it's like they had several, I think three, if I'm not mistaken, sequels that were pretty. They just got progressively worse.
Were they still better than Disaster Movie, or on par with that?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But
did you see
it's about the same, I guess.
Any of the Friday the 13th movies?
You know what? I have, but I've seen the bad ones. It's been so long since I've seen the originals that I don't even know anymore. I did recently try to watch the remake, which I thought was really effective because I thought some of the kills were kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated the kids, so I just really loved watching
this
really fast, pretty badass Jason just
beating
and destroying the hell out of these annoying kids. So it was, I'd say for that way. I mean, in my opinion, I don't think there's really a a completely wrong way to do a Jason movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I should say that the way they did it here, it was like crazy guy killing a bunch of kids, teenagers and stuff. I mean, I think it was pretty much, you know, it's pretty much leveled out with the concept enough where it was like, it was enjoyable. I mean, it wasn't that bad.
I mean, I think there's still good horror stories going on. I mean, I thought Let the Right One In was great.
That is an amazing movie. Yes. That, I love that movie.
Yes, and I think there's always going to be good stuff. I don't necessarily think you're going to have these major franchise players because it's just the way it is.
Did you see Pan's Labyrinth?
I did not see Pan's Labyrinth, but I did see The Devil's Backbone, and that was fantastic.
Oh, yeah? I've never seen that one.
That was a great ghost story, you know, set during the Spanish Civil War. It was great. I actually sat down and listened to the commentary, and it was a fantastic movie. I really, really enjoyed that. I never saw Mimic. I would love to see Kronos, but Kronos is not on DVD. I know at some point the Criterion people are supposed to release a DVD of that, and I can't wait. I really want to see Kronos.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Which, with Ron Perlman speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm trying to think of any other like horror-related stuff. I mean, I love Jacob's Ladder, which is like the inspiration for Silent Hill.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Also a one and done. And there's not been much else. I mean, we haven't had a good werewolf movie in years.
Well,
Well, we had The Wolfman. Did you see that? I mean,
no, I haven't seen Wolfman yet. It's hard to get it going for that movie. It doesn't look like it's going to be that good.
Yeah, I mean, it had production problems, but as I was talking to the King of the Jews last week, it's got to be better than American Werewolf in Paris.
About everything is better than that. Yeah.
What about Razorback? Going back to that, I mean.
I don't know. That's a really tough call.
There's also like in New Zealand, they got like a killer sheep movie that's supposed to be like a comedy. Like if the sheep bites you, become like a weresheep and
a weresheep.
Yeah, something like that. And there's probably like, you know, sheep on sheep action going on.
Where was this from?
New Zealand.
New Zealand.
Yeah. All I know about New Zealand is from Flight of the Conchords.
I don't know about their film history, but that sounds like they're reaching pretty hard for some ideas there.
It's a shame because there's actually, I mean, there are some amazing Australian film directors that, you know, and they haven't like, you know, and there hasn't been really good movies coming out of there in my opinion, but I just don't know what's going on. But they are planning to remake Mad Max. I don't think that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
You're
thinking of Jensen Ackles to play Mad Max.
Well, actually, the last thing I'd heard about Mad Max was they were going to get Tom Hardy from Bronson to play. Now, you haven't seen Bronson.
No, I know who you're talking about, though, yeah.
I think that could be good.
I don't know. He seems a little more like he could be a villain in Mad Max than
that would work.
Yeah, because he's fucking insane, man.
Well, he's not Doug Hutchinson, you're going to have something better than that. But Mad Max, I think, could be good. And other than that,
as long as they don't get Paul W.S. Anderson to do it, it should be okay.
Yeah, although the funny, speaking of that, Russell Mulcahy actually did one of the Resident Evil movies. He did
That's
Extinction.
Right. Yeah.
God damn it.
It was awful.
Yes.
Ugh. Was that the one? Wait, which one was that one? That was the one. That was the last one, right? It was like the post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, in the desert.
One,
in the Vegas
yeah,
desert.
You know who was in that? Was Johnny Cage from the Mortal Kombat
Kidding.
Movie. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was still a Paul W.S. Anderson movie because he was in it. I thought he was using him again for Mortal Kombat.
Well, speaking of that, they're actually going to make they have a Tekken movie now.
Yeah.
It looks like Dragon Ball Evolution. Oh, yeah, my God. Oh, Lord. They're never going to have a good video game movie. And
I was going to say, hey, Mortal Kombat, but that's not necessarily a good movie, but it's so fun to watch.
Here's the reason why I think there'll never be a good movie based off a video game. A video game works in its own right, much like the way a book or a comic book, because a video game will cobble stuff from other source material, just like anything else. Like,
yeah.
GTA works awesome as a video game. If you saw GTA as a movie, you'd be thinking, this is like some rank ass, you know, cobbled together from like a bunch of other crime flicks, and it's stupid.
It'd be like Cranked or something.
It'd be like,
or it'd be like
Cranked.
Max Payne was.
Oh Christ!
I saw that for like $3 one time because a friend of mine wanted to go see it. I had nothing better to do.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the worst movies ever
produced.
And if
you look at the plot
of
Max Payne,
bad.
The first Max Payne is meant to be a parody.
Yeah.
Right down to the shitty dialogue.
Yeah, it's like a satire, and the movie really doesn't play off that at all. It tries to be serious. And also, I don't know what the hell those Valkyrie hallucinate. It looked like the director was just jerking off the whole time because he just
was
coming up with all this random shit.
And that
movie.
Stuff's not even in the game. I'm not mistaken.
It was all just
they're trying to invent stuff that's not there because it doesn't make sense in the game. But you might as well.
I think the director just wanted to use it for his reel. You know, like just
maybe.
A reason to hire him later.
They wanted to, he prevented U-Bowl from getting a hold of the project.
Oh God.
So Unless U-Bowl makes a Metal Gear Solid movie. Oh, my God.
Please don't. U-Bowl, I know you're listening. Please do not do that.
He's going to do it out of spite now.
Did you see that thing where he was fighting critics?
Yeah, that was the thing from
Riley. Did I tell you Sean Riley, a.k.a. Sean Baby,
From Crack?
Attempted to challenge him, and he wouldn't do it because he was out of his weight class?
Who, Bull or this other guy?
Sean. He was out of his...
Was he heavier?
Yeah. And he was a fighter, too. And he wouldn't do it because he would only fight people who were... allegedly, he was fight people who were less skilled than he was.
Yeah, he kicked some, like, D-bag's ass from, like, something awful. And, oh, man, something awful. Unbelievable.
Yep.
But, yeah, that's pretty much all that there is going on at this moment in time. But I will get around to watching some of these horror movies. I promise. I can't set an exact date because I don't want to be held to it. Not a lazy panda. I just got shit to do, you know. So, you know, I'm trying to become a pimp here. So it's, you know, it's tough work.
It's a busy man. Cut him some slack.
Absolutely. But with that, for the Ed Hocken Show, I'm Ed Hocken.
And this is Randall.
Stay frosty.